Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, welcome to Stay on Target. I am your host, Chris, and...
John?
Well, yes, you're also a host.
Oh, yes, I'm also a host.
The phrase, I am host, Chris, and John.
I am host.
Yeah, I am host. Sounds like we are one entity.
That'd be weird.
That's kind of weird.
I don't think I'd enjoy that very
much. Nope. Make sure you guys check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast. Twitter @stayontargetpod. And always online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
Definitely. All right, so there's tons of news that has come out recently. And so we should probably just dive right into that.
Yep, it's time for the news!
The news!
All right, John, so... some big Star Wars news this week. Several things
there's
coming out.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so first, John Williams returning for Star Wars Episode 7.
Which I'm moderately excited about it. I'm not
what?
Surprised. You know?
Moderately? I'm really excited
about it.
Are
you super pumped about
it? Dude, okay. Yes, because what's Star Wars without John Williams' music?
I guess
and
that's
his
true.
Themes?
I guess that's true.
It's not Star Wars.
Yeah. It would be the anti-Star Wars.
It's anti-Star Wars.
You know, I guess the episode one of the prequels, episode one to me had the best soundtrack.
Of the prequels, yeah.
Well, and I'm like, episode two and three, I was kind of either way on them. So nothing really stuck out to me as like a big.
Well, it wasn't really either way. Like episode one, I think, you know, just because like.
The big choir thing.
Yeah, Duel of the Fates. That was awesome. But the cool thing was that. You know, he didn't have to draw on other themes. Now, episode three, the reason I thought episode three was really good was because he brought in these themes from the original trilogy. He brought in, like, Darth Vader's theme.
That's true.
And the Imperial
so
theme.
So as we got darker, he brought in the more... Yeah,
yeah,
okay,
and so
I see.
I liked that one. Episode two can go either way on. It was kind of dumb. I'm getting a blocked call right now. It's weird.
That's very strange.
I can't see my news. There we go.
Okay.
All right, so the other piece of Star Wars news... Kathleen Kennedy has said that they are focusing on character and story first and on the effects second, and I think they're going to balance those with practical effects, which hasn't J.J. Abrams said that before?
Yeah. And he said that he leans more towards – he liked the essentially the realism of the original ones. You know, he thought that some
right.
of those – I think he said before that he thought some of those special effects looked better than some of the, you know, CG – effects, which is true.
Yeah, it's true.
Because they were real.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and the other, you know, on the other side, she also said, we're actually going to be pulling out all the stops out at Industrial Light and Magic and, you know, basically using every tool in the toolkit, meaning that she said that basically they're going to bring out the droids. They're going to bring out all of these physical aspects and things. So basically they'll...
So I'm pointing to random things around the room while John's talking. It's just really confusing him.
It's so confusing. Anyway, so basically they're going to be pulling out all of the tools in the toolkit and they're definitely going to be using a lot of non-CG effects as well.
I think as far as this is concerned, you know, we've talked about this before, or at least I think I've told you this before.
Probably.
I think that J.J. Abrams, you know, for this Star Wars trilogy should go this route he took with Super 8. Like, it's super gritty. It's really grounded. Like, that world feels real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as crazy as it is, it feels real. Now, it has some, like, kind of hokey effects around with the train and stuff like that.
I didn't think they were hokey.
It just didn't... you could tell it was effects and it kind of took you out of it. But... Yeah, but I think he's good at that. But he was good with that with Star Trek too. You know, like whenever the Enterprise would shake, instead of like just having it shake, you know, he'd have the whole crew act like it's shaking. You know, like they did with the original TV show, they could have had the whole soundstage actually shake. They didn't
right.
do that. You know, they
right.
they had them do it the old fashioned way. And so,
you think he's kind of the best person for the job here?
Obviously, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. On a related Star Wars note, this is something I'm super excited about.
Uh-huh.
The new Star Wars Rebels
All right, tell
TV
us about that.
Series. This was Dave Filoni's. This is his, the guy who did the Clone Wars. This is his.
This is what's replacing the Clone
yes,
Wars.
Yes, this is essentially, you know, this was, they canceled the Clone Wars, you know, and they were, in fact, mid-season of a production cycle on Clone Wars.
Right, so well, they finished the season, and they have some specials that are coming up later right. on Cartoon Network, because they wanted to ditch Cartoon Network.
Right.
They're all going to be on Disney HD of course. or XD.
And whenever we talked about, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast at all before, but basically, you know, that just makes sense, that they move everything right. over to under the Disney hat.
But which is weird, though, because the comics are staying with Dark Horse until 2000. What is it? After 2014,
you may
at
have
least.
A contract, but Dark Horse has been the Star Wars, you know, publisher.
That's true. There's a
for
huge relationship
so long.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want to pull something out, you know, the rug out from under Dark Horse. There.
Right. Yeah, and you're right. And kids who are watching, you know, Cartoon Network are just going to jump over to Disney anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they probably have it on flashback. They're probably going back and forth in between those two networks anyway.
Yes, that and Nickelodeon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those three classic networks there. And so basically, anyway, this is it's set. It's set in between. You know, essentially, it sets up the Rebels, and they release some concept art from it, and they, you know, everything that he's been saying about it, I'm super pumped about, because he does such a good job with basically creating something in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. With the Clone Wars, I in the special features of, like, the Clone Wars DVD sets, and he always talked about how, you know, George would come in, and it was like, you have to, you know, justify every single move to him, so, you know, and
which hopefully,
like,
he won't be... Doing
no,
that
no.
anymore.
And he even said, he's like, we had free reign. He's like, it's not that, like, he was going to tell us, hey, you can't do this, but
I think
he wanted
told
us,
themselves that.
He wanted us to have a good reason for these things. Right. So, anyway, so basically, that's super exciting. Do we have any other Star Wars news?
So the last piece of Star Wars news is Disney has registered a ton of domain names with the name Star Wars Attack Squadron. So don't really know what this is going to be. It's probably not going to be a television show. It's probably not going to be, I guess... It could possibly be the, like, in-between movie, in between 7 and 8 or something ridiculous, but I can't imagine they have that name
down
yet.
Or it could
yet.
Be, I mean, isn't there, wasn't there a rumored, like, live-action Star Wars television show at some point for,
yeah,
like, ABC?
Yeah, there was. I can't, yeah, but I don't know if I see them doing that until after the next movie comes out. I can see them, you know, doing Episode 7 and then kind of doing what they're doing with the Avengers with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and doing that with Star Wars after the first film comes out.
Okay, I could see that. So you're thinking it could be a video game or it could be a movie?
I think it's probably a video game.
Okay, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, that's Chris. You know, that's his prediction that this is a video game.
That's Chris's prediction.
He's just put that stamp on it right there. All right. So moving on from the Star Wars news, we kind of talked earlier, you and I, about Dan Harmon and how he'll handle kind of the Chevy Chase and Donald Glover thing.
Yeah, they're leaving Community. Well, Chevy Chase left after last season, or during last season. I think he wasn't in the last three production episodes. He was in the last episode because they had filmed that earlier.
Yeah.
So he's gone. And Donald Glover is I think he's doing another
it's
television
show.
It's
just kind of like a diminished role is kind of how it's going to have to be.
Right,
just
but he's
going to
be in another show. That's why he's leaving.
Which that dynamic is going to be interesting on the show. So what, you know, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what
he said. So basically
he's
just saying, you know, okay, they're going to be gone. He's going to deal with it just pretty much head on. And I predict he'll probably just, I mean, he's basically saying he'll use it as a plot point, you know, and which I'm a fan of. I'm not a fan of just like someone leaving and them not saying anything.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of,
Replacing
with another actor. I think they will replace the, you know, slate with another, they'll bring in another actor to kind of fill that old man void and pull in another actor to fill, you know, the best friend of Abed's void.
Yeah,
but I don't necessarily, you know, they'll deal with it kind of like probably how New Girl dealt with Coach leaving after the first episode, you know, and just saying, well, he went off and did this, and now here's Winston, who was subletting the room from in the first place anyway, or something ridiculous.
Right on, right on. So then moving on from the kind of the television news into kind of like PS4 and PS Vita, I mean, there was an article talked about how the PS Vita or how do you say that?
Yeah, the Vita.
Will be used as a... You can tell I don't own a Vita.
I do, though.
Yes, Chris does. How it'll be used as a controller for PS4.
Yeah, you know, they've said before, you know, hey, you can use your Vita as a controller for PS4, which was kind of cool because it was like, okay, well, hey, I don't have to go buy a new controller.
A bonus controller.
You also start thinking, well, the Wii U's controller is pretty cool, and that's really the only reason to get a Wii U besides Mario games, Nintendo games, is, you know, the way that they've been able to use a controller. Rayman Legends is going to have a unique control scheme and some cool stuff on that gamepad. And so, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, the Vita as a controller is pretty cool. But they've said now, like, it's going to be cool. It's not going to be any less cool, but it's not going to be able to be used as a second controller. So you still have to go buy a second controller if you don't have one.
So it's not like you sit down and play Call of Duty with your Vita.
Vita, no. Only if they support it.
Yeah, it's only if kind of the game designers will say, hey, there's something very cool we can do with this and the touchscreen features with Vita. We're going to work that into our game design. Right. That's whenever it can be paired.
Right.
Cool.
Also, with the PS4, the Party Chat and Netflix will be free. Like, you do not have to. Like, they've come out and said, okay, for multiplayer gaming, you have to have PlayStation Plus, which is like Xbox, requiring you to have Xbox Live Gold subscriptions. And so until now, it seemed like any kind of online service would be the same as it is on Xbox on PS4.
Right, where you have to have a subscription.
You can still watch Netflix on PS4 without having a PlayStation Plus account.
That's cool. And so now, yeah. the only thing that confuses me about that is why would you want to be party chatting with people unless you're playing multiplayer with them?
Right. I don't know.
You know, hey, let's just watch Netflix.
Exactly.
You know, and then... You know,
I mean, I guess if you're using, you know, if you want to use it as a
telephone,
faux telephone, like a telephone. Have to carry a controller around your house while wearing a headset or something. I don't know. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous. It's kind of dumb. I guess maybe you could watch a Netflix movie together and talk. But
right. Speaking of Netflix, they announced that Arrested Development is definitely returning. What season would this be? I mean, which is interesting because this is a show that was canceled years and years ago, and now it's found new life online.
I don't think we necessarily know that it's returning on Netflix. It could be for a long time they've rumored that it's going to be a movie, and so I don't know that we necessarily know that it's going to be a series. It could be coming back on Netflix. I think it did well for Netflix, and it was a hit. And so, you know, I could totally see them bringing it back. You know, they're wanting to keep this original programming thing going. But there's been rumors of a movie since the series was first canceled. So it could be that too.
Okay. And I guess rounding out like the TV and that sort of a coverage here, we've got the Under the Dome, which you said would only be one season.
I was just confused because the book definitely ends.
It definitely has an end.
anyway,
in my mind, they can't stay under this dome forever. But
I don't know.
Apparently, they're going to be staying under it for season two.
What's crazy is that this is episode 5 this week, and so and so far, like ever since maybe episode 2, it's just gotten progressively crazier. You know, like. And further away from the book.
Right.
I love it. Like, it's a great TV show. I'm really into it right now. And so, like, I guess they're just being like, well, we're not constrained by the book at all.
Well,
let's just do whatever we want.
And even Stephen King, he mentioned after the first episode or before the second or something like that, he mentioned, you know, on Twitter or something like that, that people, you know, fans of the book would have to, you know, he said, I encourage everyone to accept the changes that they make because I am in support of it. You know, I'm in support of them changing things.
Right.
So apparently we're going to be in Under the Dome for season 2. And you know, we'll see what that's going to be like.
Right. Right. I think the last piece of news that we have, the Xbox One controller, headset and play and charge kit, prices have been
They've got a price for them now. And you know, this was an interesting thing cause I was thinking, okay, is it going to be more? Is it going to be the same?
It's going to be more.
It's going to be more. And which is interesting cause they came out and said, hey, the games, you know, at least to start off with, the games are going to be the same.
Games first party titles are going to be the same. Basically, they left it open for third party publishers to increase prices.
Okay.
I think this is kind of in line with them, you know, charging more for the Xbox. Yeah. And, you know, all these, they're
all
$10
more. Let's just go ahead and say that. Yeah, it's just $10.
Piece. Except for, you know, whenever you think about it, currently, the headset is included in the box, and you don't have to pay for it. Now you got to pay $25.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking this is a $500 console and $25 for a headset.
Right. It's basically a $525 console because who's going to play multiplayer gaming without a headset?
Not going
to
happen.
We're both going to have to buy one.
Oh yeah.
But
I'm also in that aspect. I'm also considering about buying a third, you know, like a Turtle Beach or
right,
you know,
a better one.
Like that. Yeah.
And I thought about that too. You know, maybe they're saying, okay, well, a lot of people are buying these third party peripherals and they don't want this headset.
Right.
And so why should we put it in the box and probably raise the price or lose our profit margin on it
right.
if they're not going to buy it anyway?
Right.
So I understand it.
Yeah, definitely. So can you run down the list of those prices here real quick?
Yeah, the controller is going to be $59.99. The plane charge kit is going to be $24.99. And the chat headset is going to be $24.99. Although if you get, I think if you get the...
The plane charge kit and the controller together?
No, it's the same price.
Same price as it would be separate?
Yeah, same price.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, is that how it is now? I just don't know.
I haven't bought a chat headset combo controller. I don't even know if there are chat headsets.
I'm just saying, like, if you bought the play and charge kit and the controller.
I guess, you know, like...
It probably is the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same. Yeah.
All right, so that was the news.
So this week we are discussing the cancellation of Fez 2.
Yes, we are.
By Phil Fish.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame as far as that goes. He basically pulled the plug on it and it just abruptly said, hey, you know, Fez 2 is canceled. I'm out of gaming.
Yeah, he said, I'm done. He dropped the mic, walked out. He's just like, done.
Peace out.
Yeah.
So to give you kind of some background here, his game Fez and him, he's kind of had a tumultuous relationship with bloggers and with the industry for a while here, just
right.
Because the Fez 1 came out and it's on Xbox.
It's on Xbox Live. Or his studio is Polytron.
Right. And so basically they published it and essentially on one out of like every, I want to say it was like one out of every 100 times you would play through this game. Mm-hmm. You would get towards the end in the game, almost all the way to the end, and then it would cancel your save.
That's
like it would lock up, erase everything. You're done. You can't. You know, you got to start over.
Wow.
Big bummer. And yeah. This is a big game. You know, it's a big puzzle game, and some of them you can't. Like some of them were super hard to solve. Anyway, basically, Microsoft at the time charged an exorbitant amount to basically do their updates. I can't remember the exact dollar number.
Right, we talked about it last week. I think it was $10,000.
It was like something around $10,000 or something. But they would charge these large amounts to do game updates. So basically, you pay the amount to put out your game.
Right.
And then you know, have a problem with it or something on one out of every, you know, X number of game plays. And then you've got to pay another, you know, large amount of cash in order to fix that you know, small
right,
bug.
To push out an update.
Right.
You know, and for companies like Activision, you know, they pump out an update to Call of Duty. It's
every
nothing
month,
to them.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that big a deal to them. They have the money. They have the cash reserves, obviously. We talked about that last week as well.
Right. And so, like, large companies, it's not a big problem. But for indie developers, it's kind of a problem.
Right.
And so he basically said at the time, you know, whenever this happened, he said, man, it's not worth it to put out this update. And I think it's ridiculous that they charge this amount. And basically kind of like laid into Microsoft just a little bit and was like, hey, you know, it's ridiculous that they would, you know, require this large amount of money for me to update this game.
Right. And then basically said, too bad for gamers, I'm not updating.
Yes. It said, you know, live with it, deal with it. And so basically, you know, bloggers didn't like that. And anytime you tell like the gaming community, hey, you know, you just deal with the problems.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
You don't get what you want.
Just live with it, you know.
Right.
That's just a problem because, you know, a lot of times, you know, the bloggers and things, you know, they just, it's just kind of a ridiculous problem. So people didn't like it. And so moving on till now, now that they've updated Xbox One's policy on, you know, the there's not going to be a fee.
Right. Well, and they've canceled the fees for Xbox 360. And I'm not sure,
right.
did they update Fez 1 already? They were going to.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'll find out.
But basically, now that they've updated these policies, Xbox has and Microsoft has, there was a blogger. I can't remember his name. What was his name?
Marcus Beer. He, I'm reading this off of Kotaku. He editorializes under the Annoyed Gamer brand on game trailers.
Right.
And he tore into Fish on his Invisible Walls panel discussion.
Right. And so basically he not only, I mean, he asked him for a comment on these updated policies and Fish basically had no comment, basically said, hey, no comment on that. And then, annoyed gamer basically just rips into him,
right,
personally attacking him, and I mean, you know, calling him all sorts of names and stuff. I mean, it was like ridiculous. And then, you know, the turnabout was on Twitter. They had a huge exchange
on Twitter. Just a war of words.
Yes, just huge war.
An old-fashioned war of words.
And, you know, I mean, things were, you know, said that were inflammatory on both sides. Both people were just being ridiculously crazy.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So then Fish just says, that's it, I'm done.
Yep, he said, I'm out. By the way, I looked up Fez, I guess it was at the beginning of the month, Fish said that Fez would be patched, and he said it would take a couple of months. So it has not been patched yet.
Oh, man.
And doesn't look like it probably will be.
Yeah, if he's out of gaming, then somebody else would have to patch it.
Fish's comments were, he said...
there were these big inflammatory things that he said on Twitter that, you know... that both of them said. And you know, if somebody came out and, you know... asked me for a comment and I said no comment and they jumped all over me, it would be hard not to, you know, to try to defend yourself or to attack back, that sort of thing. Essentially, his reasoning was sound for not commenting right. on it. His reasonings was, hey, I haven't seen the policies yet, I don't know the details, so I didn't want to comment on something I don't know anything about
yet. And we're talking about the you know, he asked him about the Xbox One policies toward the updating. Fish, you know, tweeted, I'm done, Fez 2 is canceled, goodbye. And then whenever Kotaku asked him about it, he said, yep, it's if he was serious about the cancellation, he said, yep, it's just not worth it anymore. And he later tweeted and said, on a Polytron site, he said, this isn't the result of any one thing, but the end of a long, bloody campaign. And so, you know, basically he's saying, I'm just tired of everyone having problems with me.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, you know, he makes these games and it's, they're great games.
Fez 1 was great.
But he just doesn't think that all the hatred is worth it. And, you know, I don't necessarily blame him.
Yeah. I mean, initially my reaction to you, you know, I said something to you about it being an extreme reaction to a situation, but you came back with the point that,
yeah, I just said, you know, like, okay, if someone was following me around every single day and, you know, even if I was doing what I love to do, you know, if I was, you know, at work and every single thing I did, you know, someone was telling me I was a jerk or I was an a-hole or I was a douchebag, you know, like, they'd just be like, I'd be done. I would quit. Like, I would not. Even if it's something I love to do, I would find something else to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where someone wasn't doing that, you know. And it wasn't, the problem is, it's not just one voice. You know, it's a little different whenever it's just one person. You can just tune them out. It was a lot of the game industry and a lot of the reviewers out there.
You know, and this speaks to something that's large on a large cultural scale. Games in general, people are so hard on game developers and things, but just, I don't know why exactly. It seems like they're harder on those people than they are on other, you know, kind of other industries.
Right. Well, and the problem is, you know, they make it really personal. Like, I guess, I don't know if it's the anonymity that the internet provides where they you know, just spew this vitriol and think, hey, it's okay if I can, you know, to express myself like this. But it's really not, you know, and it's different, you know, whenever you think about, okay, we're going to talk about Microsoft here in a second. You know, whenever you spew a bunch of that crap just at Microsoft in general, this entity as a company, it's not directed at a single person. Well, whenever you're directing it at a single person like Fish, obviously they're going to feel terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these are human beings we're talking about. Like, Microsoft, yeah, you can say this is a big evil corporation or whatever you want to call them. You know, like, if you want to do that, you know, EA keeps getting voted the worst company in America. You know, like, every single year, like 2 years in a row, worst company in America, evil. Like, that's basically what we're saying.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's like, okay, you can throw that. It's okay kind of to throw that out at a company, like, you know, whatever. But at a person, that same kind of hatred, the same kind of mean-spirited comment, it's going to hurt them personally, on a personal level.
Oh, yeah. And as far as that goes, you know, you as, like, if you were the CEO of some company that was getting voted the worst or whatever, that doesn't hurt nearly as much as if you are literally the only person.
Right. It's your,
you know,
it's your company. You are that company.
Yeah, you are the guy.
They're basically saying you are the most evil person.
Right. And in that instance, you're kind of thinking, you know, I would think, man, I'm literally, my passion is to bring games to the general public, but if the general public thinks I'm a total jerk or then like doesn't like me, then why am I bringing good games to them?
Right.
So, I mean, I totally see your point. And as far as, you know, the gaming community goes, it's just kind of a, it's just kind of, like venomous.
Yeah.
Just the even, you know, his name was, what was it? Annoyed,
Annoyed Gamer.
Annoyed Gamer.
Well, and that's okay. Like, you know, this is the thing, you know, like it's a problem that the game industry will have to take care of, because yes, okay, it shouldn't be okay for someone who's named the Annoyed Gamer, you know, to, you know, that's what his handle is. Like, he's just annoyed and ticked off all the time. Like, why are we listening to people like this?
Yeah.
You know, why do they hold a prominent place in our
and why did Fish even like industry need to answer his questions? I mean, I feel like, you know,
no, he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, a no comment is fine. Like, he didn't, you know, he hadn't contacted him previously. Like, it was okay. No comment was an entirely appropriate response, right, to, hey, what do you think about this? No comment. It's over at that point. Why go further? And, you know, it's just part, you know, well, everyone who hated Fish, they've got what they wanted now. No Fez 2. He's gone. He's out of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what we saw with Xbox One whenever we had the DRM policies. You wrote and posted an article,
right,
on stayontargetpodcast.com about it. Everybody should go check it out and read it.
Yeah, I mean, basically in that instance, you know, the gaming community, same situation where they, something they didn't understand, and then they all, you know, everyone just kind of vehemently went after
not
something
even,
that they
not
didn't.
Not even everyone, just the loudest people.
Yeah, just the loudest people. Just the people that didn't like it.
Yeah, they said Microsoft was terrible.
Yeah.
The worst. There's money grabbers. They're out to screw gamers. You know, and that kind of stuff is not constructive.
No, not
at
all.
And those people got what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know.
And too much to the dismay of everyone else, you know, where it's like most people, you know, that I talk to now, it's like they understand those policies, that what they meant and what they were going to do. They
right,
were
hey,
revolutionizing
the game.
We
liked family sharing. That
right.
sounded awesome.
And most of those people now are like disappointed that we didn't get that.
Right.
And it is all the fault of the loudest people. You know, it's you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It, very much so in the gaming industry.
Right. And this is just not always constructive, you know, and I think it's something that, you know, we'll have to tone back, because, you know, it's one thing whenever, you know, like something's actually wrong and being mm-hmm. legitimately upset about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason that I think gamers get a bad reputation a lot of times is because the loudest gamers in the industry are like this.
Right. And if you get in any you know, Call of Duty, you know, lobby, a lot of times you'll just get these ridiculous people.
But you also find really good people.
Yeah. But they're not the loudest.
Not necessarily. No.
You know, you run into, you know, you notice way more of the worst people.
Yeah, or the comment section of any big gaming website or anything like that. You know, like, you just see, you know, just terrible stuff. YouTube, I mean, it's like that. The internet kind of brings that out. And I don't know if it's because, you know, a lot of, you know, the
anonymity, like you said, I think is kind of what.
Right.
What
and
I
don't
assume.
Know if it's because, you know, just a lot of gamers, you know, we just, like, we are online. We're those kind of people. We're just online all the time. But I don't see that, you know, like on you know, tech websites necessarily about
right.
like, you know,
you don't see a lot of the
I guess
major...
sometimes I see it on like Gizmodo, like I see some stuff, but like a lot of times there it's constructive conversation,
right?
And so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is delivery as well, and you know, it's like you said, the anonymity of the internet and just the seeming immaturity of the people who are on it.
Right. You had a quote, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Matthew Arnold, who is one of the co-creators of VGHS and mm-hmm. And does the Freddy W. channel, like mm-hmm. does a bunch of stuff for that. He had a series of tweets. As soon as I read them about this topic, about Fish and this situation, I was very much, I very much connected with it, agree with him, you know, almost completely on this whole situation. So I'm just going to read those. We're just going to wrap up the talk about that mm-hmm. by reading through his tweets here. It says, "I don't blame Fish. The majority of mainstream game journalism is embarrassing and seems to have little to no knowledge of what they cover. And the loudest aspects of the gaming community have a level of entitlement and cruelness unmatched by other mainstream art. It can be exhausting, especially if you are a small-scale developer making stuff from passion, to hear all the audience and journalists rant and rave with a lot of ignorance and little to no sympathy. Not saying Fish doesn't have his own problems, but it doesn't change those facts."
Right. And I agree with him. You know, you don't see stuff out from, you know, out of the book industry. You know, John Grisham puts out a book and we all go crazy because, oh, it wasn't what we wanted. You know, like, oh, the ending was terrible or something. Yeah. You know, like you screw up an ending of a game, and people go nuts. They just hate you. Like, look what happened whenever Mass Effect came out, Mass Effect 3. And granted, I haven't played it, but they didn't like the ending.
Well, think about this. You haven't even played it, and you know that people didn't like
exactly.
the ending.
I know that people were so upset about it. You know, they didn't like the ending. So then, BioWare went back, and they released some DLC that effectively changed the ending. And people still didn't like it. They're like, well, we liked the first one better. Well, are there different grades of bad?
Well,
here?
We just
like,
can't. You know,
what
you just,
are we doing?
It seems like you can't please anybody, and right. And you know that's, you know, like I said, I agree completely with what Matt Arnold said, and you know it's just something that needs to be on a core level. Gamers just need to realize that this is a problem, and they definitely need to fix it.
Right. Well, and the end result is going to be that indie gamers are going to get out of the business, and you know like fish, and you're going to be left with big companies churning out all these sequels of these big franchises. That's all you're going to have are these AAA titles that people know they can make money on, because the indie developers have said, it's not worth it. I don't want to get chewed up and spit out.
Right.
And I'm just not going to do it.
And personally, I mean, as far as like the Mass Effect thing, it's like if enough people shout out about the ending being a problem to a game or the content of a game being a problem, I mean, I want somebody to, you know, I want a company to say, have the integrity to say, hey, listen, this was exactly the game we wanted to make. Deal, you know, you're going to have to deal with this.
Right. Well, that's where it is different between a big company and a single person, you know, whereas someone like Fish probably would. He'd probably say, sorry, this is the ending that I wanted. You know, like with BioShock, anything that Ken Levine would say, you know, hey, this is the ending. This is why I did do the ending like this.
Right.
And this is, you know, this is the ending. It's not going to change.
Right.
But a company where it's, you know, just kind of like this, there's a lot of input coming in. They're looking at like, okay, well, we need to make the fans happy. We can make some extra money on some DLC. Let's go ahead and just release another ending. That's what they say they want, you know, like,
right.
So there's a different level of creativity there, a different level of control.
And you don't see guys like J.J. Abrams changing the ending of things.
No.
You know?
Yeah, you know? You don't, and you don't expect that.
As a creator, I mean, I don't think you should be expected to change things based on the anger of fans,
right?
Or of the loudest detractors.
And I'm almost, you know, just on that level of thinking, I'm kind of against director's cuts and unrated versions and stuff like that, because and I agree with who did The Departed. Martin Scorsese, his whole idea, he never does director cuts, because he, you know, says if you can't release the version of the film that you want to release in the first place, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, you don't release a movie.
Right. And, you know, and I agree that there's sometimes, you know, like Lord of the Rings, that's about the only exception to that rule that I give, you know, credence to. Like, okay, yes, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, it makes that film better. But, you know, in large part, you know, I don't like alternate endings. I don't like, you know, necessarily director's cuts, unless, you know, they add to for the finished product in a way that is constructive.
All right, so just to kind of wrap up
here.
That was
a weird topic to end on.
Yeah, it was. But that's all right. So just to kind of wrap up here, you know, let's just kind of wrap up the talk by saying, you know, just be aware as far as, you know, people just need to be aware of themselves whenever they're blogging or whenever they're you know, talking about games.
And we're talking to ourselves too, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly. We just need to, as a gaming community and as a community of you know, entertainment, we just need to make sure that we're realizing that what you say matters. Mm-hmm. and you know, can have major effects on things.
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps up this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about some digital comics that we like, so tune in for that, and make sure you check us out on facebook.com/stayontargetpodcast, Twitter @stayontargetpod, and always online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
And we'll see you next time on Stay on Target.